Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And we know this, that the time when the world will celebrate Jesus Christ, and that's why we're going to go out and pass out tracts and try to witness to people, show them, hey, man, there is joy in Christmas. There is joy. And I know Jesus Christ wasn't born on December 25th. We know that because the Bible says the shepherds were still in the field of their flock. But we do celebrate Christmas. We had a young man used to come to church here named Dwayne. And Dwayne loved being around our house at Christmas time because he said he was raised a Jehovah's Witness. And Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't celebrate Christmas. And they call it a pagan holiday, which, you know, I realized that the way the world looks at it. And the world's turned it out to be pagan. But when Jesus Christ was born, the Lord sent his angels down on this earth to rejoice. God rejoiced over the birth of his son. And we couldn't have, I'm preaching this morning on the second coming of Christ, but we couldn't have the second coming without the first coming. You couldn't have Jesus Christ celebrating his second coming without his first coming. So Matthew 24 tells you, in Matthew 24 verse 1, and talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is during the tribulation period and all that stuff, but I'm not going to concentrate on all that this morning, but it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And Jesus said that to his disciples, that the temple was going to be tore down. And it was. Now, the Bible tells us before the Lord comes back, the temple is going to be rebuilt. It's going to be rebuilt. And they're already in preparation. That's why Jerusalem, this capital that Donald Trump said this and all that, that's why that thing is so important. And it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, Jesus came unto him, our disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. You don't want to be deceived by man. Man tells you everything's going to be all right. Everything's getting better. And evolution, isn't evolution a crock? Isn't that crazy? I mean, evolution says everything's got to get better. Man's getting better. Everything else. Man is not getting better. If we came from animals, when's the last time you seen an animal turn into a man? If that was evolution is right, then we should see daily a man or animal turn into a man. But that doesn't happen. And the reason why they made up evolution, I was a guy named Charles Darwin. He didn't want to believe the Bible. He just didn't want to believe what God said. And that's what the world is. They don't want to believe the Lord's coming back. They don't want to believe that. The world's looking at they'll accept the first birth. Okay, keep him in the manger. Keep him confined. Keep him down low. As long as we can benefit from it, keep him down low. But him coming back, and boy, I tell you what, a little boy used to talk about the Lord coming back, and boy, is he mad. And he's coming back. And we talk about the Lord coming back, and we want the Lord to come back. But we want to see people saved. We want them, we're here, we're celebrating Christmas coming up December 25th. We want to see people have joy. Because when the angels came and presented that Jesus Christ would be born, he told Joseph, he told Mary first. The angel came and told Mary and then explained to Joseph what was going to happen. It says joy, joy, joy. And as a child of God, there should be joy in our lives. Now look on down to verse 5. And many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. We've seen that. Jim Jones, all the rest of them, shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And he says, nation shall rise against nation. North Korea, Iran, all these other nations coming up. And it says, kingdom against kingdom. And there should be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. All these things, with all the moderation, all the man's technology and all the things, we still see famine. You still see earthquakes. You still see all these pestilence. You see something new coming out. You see all these things. Why? Man says, well, we can just prove there is no God. We're just going to do away with God. And God, every time they turn around, something else comes up, and because the Bible says it's going to happen. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, talking about the Jews, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. How about that? How about that? I mean, all the Jews, they're hated by the United Nations. He says, you'll be hated for my name's sake. The Jews are hated. And why? You ask somebody, why are they hated? They said they took our land. Now, if you look at the land mass of Eastern in the Middle East, you look at the land mass, all Muslims cover all this land. and the Jews have this little teeny part. And they got all this land. All the land. They got Egypt. They've got Libya. They got Ethiopia. They've got all these other countries. And they've got Jordan, and they've got Assyria, they got all the Turkey, they've got all these countries, and they said, man, you took our land. And that was a land that God promised to the nation of Israel. God promised to them, and God said, they're going to get it. And he promised, he said, wherever Abraham's foot touches, they said, we're of Abraham. He said, after Isaac. And that's when he talked about the seed was going to be passed to Isaac, and the lamb was going to be passed to Isaac. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, like Adolf Hitler and all those stuff happened. And many false prophets shall be rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You find yourself this day and time getting cold. I mean, we see news. I asked Google the other day, how many people are dying in America on a yearly basis? It's in the thousands. Murder, all the other things going on. I mean, you say, well, man, this is supposed to be a Christmas time. You're getting us depressed. No, I'm not trying to get you depressed. I'm trying to get you to wake up. Hey, man, I mean, thank God for Christmas. Thank God for all the many blessings, and God's been good to us. But we got a hope to look forward to. You know, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, or God put Adam in the garden, and God made, he said he gave him a garden to keep it dressed. God gave man something to do. Man has to have something to do. I mean, you've got to have something to do. God's given us something to do as his children. When he saved us, he's given us something to do. Man's got to have something to look forward to. And Adam has something to look forward to every day. When God came in the cool of the day, Adam looked forward to that. Man needs love. He needs to show love. He needs to have love. God said to Adam, he said, Adam said, I love you, Lord. And God watched Adam looking around at all the animals. They had a male and female, and Adam didn't have it. And God said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something to love, and I'm going to give you something to show you love. And God gave him a woman from his own side. That's why I said when a man and a woman gets married, they become one flesh. God gave, man needs those things. Man needs something to do. I mean, God's given us something to do as a church. He's given us a vision. He's given us something to do. That's what we ought to be doing. He's given us a purpose in life, something to look forward to. I mean, we look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking forward to. We want the Lord to come back. We desire for him to come back. We're looking forward to walk with God, talk with God, with no more sin in our lives, no more sorrow, no more trouble, no more famines and wars and rumors of wars, none of that stuff. We look forward to that. That's why Jesus Christ came and died. You know, there's 1,800 prophecies about the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's only 300 about the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you, we're going to look at some things here this morning. Take your Bible, look on down. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that endure the end, the same shall be saved. We know that's the gospel of the tribulation. Now take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is the prophecy concerning Christ's first coming. His first coming all the way back. Go back to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. Go back here. Look in your Bible. Mark this in your Bible. Get your marker out and mark it in your Bible. Deuteronomy 18. I mean, Jacob. And Moses and Micah and Isaiah and all the prophets of old, they talked about the first coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, the first coming. And then the prophets were looking forward to when the Messiah was going to be born. They were looking forward to it. They said, man, God said he was going to send us a prophet like on the Moses. Look in Deuteronomy 18, look at verse 15. And the Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren. And that's a prophecy. He was going to be a Jew. He said, I'm going to raise a prophet up from the brethren, from like and be like unto me. And him shall ye hearken to. Hearken. And according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up. I'll raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me. and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command them. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he hath spoken in my name, I will require of him. Now that was Moses writing that down 1430 some years before the birth of Christ. 1400. I mean, Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, none of them could prophesy about a Messiah coming. None of them believed. None of them. Matter of fact, they're all still in the grave. They're all dead and they're probably in hell. I was on the phone, I told you a couple of weeks ago, with a guy that was a telemarketer, and I decided I was going to give him scripture and talk about Jesus Christ rather than just hanging up on him. So I didn't know the guy must have been calling me from Afghanistan somewhere, and I told him, I said, Muhammad is dead and in hell. And man, he went nuts. He went crazy. Blah, 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 blah. He started going nuts. And I mean, I started preaching to him as he was going nuts. And I said, hey man, Muhammad's dead and in hell, and he'll never rise again unless he gets cast into the lake of fire. And man, this guy just went, he said, Jesus Christ is not real. He's not alive. And I said, yes, he is. He's alive. He's alive in my heart. I spoke to him a little while ago. And I mean, I started preaching to him. And the guy hung up on me. And man, usually we hang up on the telemarketers, but the telemarketer hung up on me. 1400 years ago, Moses talked about him. Take your Bible, look in Genesis. Look in Genesis chapter 49. This is Jacob before he's dying. He gives a prophecy about Jesus Christ. All the way through your Bible, there's a prophecy about Jesus coming, about him coming the first time. In Genesis 49, this is Jacob on his deathbed, and he gives a prophecy about Judah and about Jesus Christ coming from the tribe of Judah. He says in Isaiah 49, and look at verse 10, Isaiah 49, verse 10. He says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh is Jesus Christ. And Shiloh, till Shiloh come. Judah is a lion whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He is stooped down. He crouches as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people be, binding his foal onto the vine. There's Jesus Christ riding the foal, and his ass's coat onto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. And it says his eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. And it says, and then it talks about the prophecy. That's where they, if you read Book of Revelation, you read this, you'll find that's where they get Santa Claus from, washing, you know, with blood and all that stuff, and being in all red and all that. That's in Revelation. We never told our children Santa Claus was anything to them. I had my grandkids the other day, and we was up at a store somewhere, and lady said, what does Santa Claus bring you? We was up in BJ's and up there where my son lives, and the lady said, what is Santa Claus going to bring you? All my grandkids looked at me, and I said, tell them. They said, he's not bringing nothing. She went, oh. And we tell them that. We say, well, that's kind of cruel. No, we tell them the truth. Amen. We want them to know the truth. We want them to know Jesus Christ is the one who gives us everything. And now, over in Genesis chapter 49, Jacob talks about the lawgiver till Shiloh come. That was 1689 years before the birth of Christ. Now take your Bible, look in Isaiah chapter 7. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7. This is 758 years before the time of Christ. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7. This is talking about the first birth or the first coming of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 7. And look at verse 14, Isaiah 7:14. And it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name what? Emmanuel. That has eight letters. I went through this on Wednesday night. Every name in heaven has seven letters. Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, all the names have seven letters. So what about this one? This is Emmanuel, mean God with us. Eight, it's got eight letters. Eight is the number of new beginning. When Jesus Christ comes on this earth, his name is going to be Emmanuel. Eight letters, new beginning. Seven are in heaven. Why? Seven is a perfect number. On earth, most of the name, five. Five. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, but he may know and refuse evil and choose good. For the Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was God in the flesh. He was a God-man, but he learned obedience by the things he suffered. He became a man so the sons of men could become the sons of God. He became a man. I mean, God set it up. It says in verse 16, before the child shall know to do refuse evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. God said, when he's born, when that child is born, that the land is going to be forsaken by both kings. He prophesied that. Both kings went into captivity into Babylon. And Rome was in power when Jesus Christ showed up at the time of the taxation. Prophecy about the first coming. Jesus Christ, whether man believes it or not, he came. He was born. He grew up at 30 years old, started his ministry. 30 years old. That's where a priest in the Old Testament would start their ministry. Take your Bible, look in Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Go back over Old Testament. Micah chapter 5. Go with me to Micah. Micah chapter 5. If I can find it, Micah myself. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Micah chapter 5. Look at this. This is 710 years before the first coming of Jesus Christ. It says in Micah chapter 5, verse 1, now gather thyself in troop, O daughters of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Who's that? Jesus Christ. They'll smite him. And thou, Bethlehem of Ephrah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth I have been from old and from everlasting. The Bible says Bethlehem was going to be the place. Guess what? I mean, God designed it where Jesus Christ was born in a barn in Bethlehem. He says, the birds of the air have nests. He said, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have not a place to lay his head. He was the owner of the universe and didn't even have his own place to lay his head on this planet. He came the first time. There's proof. There's 20,000 words in Webster's dictionary about a man that came the first time and about a man that was born a virgin. The world don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe in a virgin. They want to keep Jesus Christ in a manger. They want to keep him small and celebrate like they do at Christmas time. And let's get rid of Jesus. My family, Christmas was just a time when we got together, we drank, we got drunk. I mean, we fought, we did all kinds of stuff. We gave each other presents. And that was all Christmas was. And every once in a while, my father felt religious. My father would say, the good man upstairs gave this to us. When he felt religious. And that's the way the world looks at things. And the world, that's the way my family was at Christmas time. Man, I'll tell you what, I thank God for his first coming, but I'm looking forward to the second coming. Amen. I mean, the first coming, man, I believed on what he went through, and I saw Calvary and saw that he suffered and the things he suffered for me on Calvary, I accepted him. And I'll tell you something, you and I that are saved in this room this morning, we didn't realize when I got saved, and you didn't realize when you got saved that you got in on something pretty big. I mean, bigger than this world ever seen. Bigger than this world will ever know until they see Jesus Christ coming back. The world looks at us like we're half-wits, and like we're crazy, like we're stupid. This is your crutch. This is all you got to hang on to. I mean, we got the world. We got the world by the tail. We got the money. We got this and that. And you know what? All that's going to run out one day. All that's going to end. And then one day they're going to be crying that the rocks in the hills would fall on them. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 10. We got a promise. Whenever I've preached funerals, whenever I've been, and Brother Squeaky, the same thing, and other men here that's done funerals and been beside the bed of people passing away, going on to be with Jesus Christ, we read this to their families. And man, when people are going through troubles and trials, and Jesus Christ gave us promises, he gave us promise of the second coming. He said, I'm coming back. He said, I was born to die. I was born to take your place. And whosoever shall call on me, I will no wise cast out. I mean, the Lord came the first time. He was born the baby. Prophecies were fulfilled. And when he came upon this planet, and he suffered and died and rose again the third day, it wasn't just enough just to suffer and die and then die and go to a grave, but he rose from the grave. And there's a promise of the second coming. Look what he says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and you know the way. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 12. Look at Luke chapter 12. Look over here to Luke chapter 12. I mean, he's given his promise of his second coming. I mean, he's coming back. And he's coming back, brother. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm on his side. And God, like I said, God put man in the garden. And what he's given man, he said, man, you got to have a purpose in life. You got to have a reason to wake up in the morning. You got to have a reason to live. And some men, the reason why they want to live is make more money, or they get more houses, or get this and get that. I mean, as a child of God, when God saved us, we have a purpose. We wake up every morning. Our purpose is to please God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. Our purpose is this one day to see him. And, you know, we sing him songs about, oh, I long to see him, look upon his face. And boy, I tell you what, I'm longing to see him. I'm looking forward to that day. Well, I got more loved ones passing away going on the other side. They're waiting on us on the other side. I'm longing to see them as well. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 35. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Ye yourselves likewise on the men that wait for their Lord. And when he will return from the wedding, that when ye cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Now, I realize this tribulation passage. Verily I say unto you, he that shall girt himself, it says, and make them to sit down. He says, he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch or find them so, blessed are those servants. This know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, ye would have watched and not have suffered the house to be broken in the, through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. I mean, he's coming back, folks. You say, when is it, preacher? I wish I knew. I wish I could say, here's the day, here's the time, here's the hour. I wish I knew. I'll tell you what, it would change every one of us. I know that. It would change the way we think. Sometimes in the back of your mind, you think, well, he ain't coming. Oh, we've been talking about him coming back. He's coming, brother. And he says he's going to come like a thief in the night. It says in the twinkling of an eye. Talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We're going out of here. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, there's a promise of his second coming. Take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 16. I realize this that passage there talking about the tribulation saints. But look at Matthew chapter 16. It says, be ye ready for such hours you think not the Son of Man cometh. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 27. Matthew 16, verse 27. This is the promise of his coming. Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He was talking about John the Beloved. He was talking about John seeing Jesus Christ come back. So John the Beloved, he said, there be some standing here that will not die until they see the coming of the Son of Man, and they'll not taste death. Guess what? John the Beloved, he wrote the book of Revelation. He seen the second coming of Jesus Christ. He wrote the book of Revelation. He got to see it. He didn't taste death till after that. He got to see the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's a promise. Matthew 24, look back at Matthew 24, verse 30. This is the promise of his coming. Matthew 24, the reason why I'm showing you all these scriptures, so you'll see that he did promise. He promised he was coming. And I want you to see that with your eyes. Why? Because what happens is you start thinking, well, he's not coming. And the Bible, you start doing other things. And you start not being busy about the Father's business. We have a purpose. God's given us a purpose. We wake up every day. Our purpose is to please God. Our purpose is to serve God. And we have something to look forward to. We're looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We also, man, we need love. The Bible says, if a man love God, the same is known of him. I love God, and he'll show his love to me. And he showed his love to the world. And what does the world do? The world turns their back on him. The world don't want nothing to do about his love. I'm going to tell you something. His love is perfect love. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. His love is perfect. Matthew 24, and look at verse 30. Look what it says. Matthew 24, 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now, this is also tribulation. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's a promise. That's a promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, take your Bible, if you would. Go to Luke chapter 2. Look at Luke chapter 2. The angels, when the promise of his coming, when Jesus Christ said he was going to come, the angels said that it would come. Look in Luke chapter 2. The angels announced that he was coming. And the angels announced his birth. The angels are going to announce some other things. And we'll look at that in a second. And the angels announced his birth. Look at this. In Luke chapter 2, and we read the story. I never forget that one Christmas morning, me and my family were sitting around, about 35 of us sitting in the house, and it was Christmas morning, and we started reading the book of Luke, and I passed around. I said, verses of the Bible. As we passed it around and started reading about the birth of Jesus Christ, we all got weeping. Man, we got weeping and crying. And we couldn't stop weeping as we was reading the Word of God, thinking, man, God looked down from heaven. And man, he allowed his son to come down, be born of a woman. Wicked men put their hands on him and crucified him. And he rose again. And then he came and presented the gospel to me and to my family. And we received him as our Savior. And he loved us that much. He cared about us that much. And I thank God we received him. And we got something to look forward to. We're looking forward to him coming back. Look in Luke chapter 2. Look in Luke chapter 2. The angels announced his birth. Look in this. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. In Luke 2, 10, the angels came down, and they were excited. God was excited. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. The Christmas time, for a Christian, ought to be a glad tidings of great joy in our lives, instead of worrying about all the other junk. I mean, when I was a kid, we were sitting around the table. Samson was going around the table one night, and we sat there, and he said, I do this to the kids. And we go, A, name a Bible character in the Bible. His name starts with A. And we went B, C, all the way. And then Samson said, Dad, he said, what did you do for Christmas? I said, man, I remember one Christmas. Used to get one present. That's all we got. We got one present. And boy, I was thankful to have that. I was thankful to have that one present. And I said, but Christmas time, it's got some good memories for me, but it got a lot of bad memories of drinking and carrying on and all kinds of crazy stuff. But man, when I got saved, God changed that. I mean, God changed everything in our home, in the Ryman family. The Ryman family had a curse upon it, and God took the curse off by when his son came in our lives. And when we have great joy now, great joy. The Bible says, and the angel said unto them, fear not thou. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels proclaim this, the coming of Jesus Christ. Looking with me to Luke chapter 24. Go to Luke chapter 24. I'm trying to go through this real quick. Luke chapter 24. Look at this. Take your Bibles. Mark this in your Bible. Not only did they announce his birth, they announce his resurrection. God sent the angels down to announce his resurrection. I mean, in Luke chapter 2, the angels showed up, and the Bible says there was a great host of angels singing and giving glory to God. And when Jesus Christ resurrected, Mary, Peter, all of them came to the tomb, and there was angels sitting there. And the angel announced, he is risen. He is risen. Look at this. Luke chapter 24, and look at verse where is it? Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, and upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in, and this is Mary and Martha, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? I mean, brother, I tell you what, I'm not seeking the dead person anymore. I remember when my brother got killed, I didn't have no hope of eternal life. I had no hope of ever seeing God or seeing my brother again. I remember going out to the graveyard, crawling over the fence, drunk as anything, high out of my mind, and laying on his grave, crying and asking him to forgive me for the times I've hurt him and stabbed him and all those things. And I didn't have no hope of ever seeing my family again, my brother again. But man, when I got saved, man, I know my brother prayed for me. I know my brother, before he died, prayed for me. Now I have hope. I'm not seeking the dead. I haven't been back to my brother's grave in years and years. I haven't even been to my mom and dad's grave. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when I see him come up out of the grave. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. He is not here, but risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. The angels announced his birth. The angels announced his resurrection. And take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 1. The angels announced his second coming. They announced it. They said, he's coming again. Praise God for that. I mean, I got their word on it. Amen. Because why? They got it from God himself. Acts chapter 1. Look at Acts chapter 1 and look at verse 10. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says, and while they looked steadfast, Jesus Christ was talking to them. He was with them. Most people don't know this, that Jesus Christ was seen above 500 brethren at once. 500 people shows up and Jesus shows up. People don't know that. It's in the Bible. He shows up to his disciples. He shows up and he shows up for 40 days after he resurrected. Can you imagine that? For 40 days after he resurrected, they never knew when he was going to walk through the door. Wouldn't that be wild? Wouldn't that be wild if the Lord said, well, I'll tell you what, always for 2,000 years, I'm just going to show up and go in people's houses and sit down and talk to them. He does, though. He does through his word. He does through his Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter, and he's inside you. He's there. But can you imagine that? The Lord shows up for 40 days after his resurrection, goes into disciples. He not only did he do that, 12 hours after he resurrected, he brought captivity captive. He led these people out of the paradise and brought them up. And he told Mary, don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended our Father yet. Because why? He was the lamb sacrifice. And he said, he didn't want to be defiled. But those people that resurrected with him, that he brought up out of the ground, out of the grave, the Bible says they went throughout Jerusalem testifying about his resurrection. That had to be another wild scene. You talking about some great things happening, brother. I'm telling you what, if you were on the other side of Calvary, if you was on the other side of a believer, you'd be scared to death. And people are scared to death. People are afraid to hear about Jesus Christ coming back. They're afraid of that. Why are you afraid of it? I mean, man, if you're saved and you're on your way to, I mean, why are you afraid of him coming back? I want him to come back. I'm saying every day, come on, Lord. What are you waiting for? Get us out of here. It's been 2 days. The Bible says he waited when Lazarus was dead. And the Bible says he waited 2 days. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years in 1 day. He waited 2 days to show you something. 2,000 years. And then he's going to show up. Resurrection. Because he went to Lazarus' grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. After 2 days. The Bible is right on the money, folks. Look at this. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. There's those same two guys. Can you imagine those two angels standing there saying, man, these guys still can't get it. These are dumb thumps, man. What's the matter with them? I mean, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him delivers them. God sent his angel. Everybody says, well, we got a guardian angel. I don't know about that, but I know this. God's angels around them that fear him and delivers them. But can you imagine that? Can you imagine them two angels showing up and they said, okay, I tell you what, we're going to tell you something because he's gone. You're watching him go up. They're standing there looking up in the clouds. They're standing there because he's talking to them and he leaves after 40 days. And he's leaving and they're standing there looking at him and watching him go up, and all of a sudden these two guys show up. And they're standing there, and they said, look what they said in verse 11. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye seen him go into heaven. And it says, he said, he's coming back. And the Bible promises he's coming back. You say, what is that? That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. The apostles taught that he was coming again. The apostles, take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 1. John the Beloved, he taught Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, you say, preacher, how should we live our lives in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ? How should we live our lives in light of Jesus Christ coming? You ought to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present evil world. In the Bible, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men they might see the good works of your Father. We're supposed to, we have a purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. If you're not doing your purpose or have the purpose that God's given us to do, see, once you get saved, you're not your own anymore. I mean, you say, well, I work a job. In your job, you're supposed to have a purpose in glorifying God. You shouldn't be a thief. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't cuss. You shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be smoking dope. You should not be all them things. You have a purpose. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body. This body right here is what God uses to glorify him. God's given you a purpose. Are you doing your purpose? So people always say, I wonder what the will of God is for my life. I wonder what the will of God is for my life. I wonder what the will of God is for my life. Hey, man, it's real simple. It's elementary, my dear Watson. Your purpose is to glorify God. How many in this room can say, I'm pretty sure I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. You have a purpose. We have something to look forward to. What we're looking forward to is Jesus coming back. If you ain't looking forward to his coming, the Bible says God gives a crown to everybody that loves his what? Appearing. I can't imagine a Christian saying, Lord, don't come back yet. Lord, don't come back yet. Lord, don't come back yet. God, I ain't ready for you to come back yet. I got things. I got plans. I got things I want to do. Don't come back yet, Lord. I mean, I've got my life to live. And when I get old, then I'll live for you. That's not the way it should be. When I get old, I'll give you everything. No, that ain't the way it should be. You're supposed to do it now. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, he present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, God's not going to make you do it. What if the Lord came back today and you went standing before the Lord at right now in the shape that you're in right now? So, oh, preacher, he ain't coming back today. He could. Is everything straight between you and him? So I don't believe that. You can believe what you want. You can believe we came from animals. You can believe all that stuff. You can believe all you want. But one day you'll be a believer. One second after you're dead, you'll be a believer. One second. Too late. I tell atheists, I've been on the college's campus University of Maryland, and I've been different colleges all over the country, Texas, A&M. I've been all over the place. I've had atheists come after me. Ah, that Bible is a lie. Man made that Bible, all that stuff. I've had them tell me all that stuff. They say, I'm an atheist. And I always mess with them. I say, you know, you got a holiday. And they said, really? What? What? We got a holiday. I always mess with them. I said, the Bible says you got a holiday. You know, they said, what day? Day is it? I said, April Fool's. I said, you know, the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. And they go, man, you tell me smart. I said, hey, man, you atheist? I said, you know what? You'll be, 1 second after you're dead, you'll be a believer. I said, you know what? I tell them this. I said, look, you're atheist? I said, do I have anything to lose if I die, if I believe what you believe? And they said, no, because it's going to go to the ground. I said, but wait a minute. How about if I'm right and you're wrong, would you have everything to lose? Yeah. Yeah. I said, you lose, I win. I always do this. I win both ways. Say, rub it in? Yes.
I win both ways. But I know the Bible's true. Look in Revelation chapter 1. I love this. I love chapter 1 of Revelation. I didn't realize this until Eddie said it. Eddie said he'd been coming back to church for 10 years. Did he say this? And he said, I've been teaching the book of Revelation for how many years? I just love the book of Revelation. 10 years before that, I was teaching the book of Revelation. Okay. All right. At least I'm consistent about it. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 7. Look at back up. Actually, verse 6. And have made us kings. Talking about us now. Have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father to be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. That's like this, the angel said. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, talking about the Jews, Romans, all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Know what the Lord said. I am the Alpha, the Omega. That's the Greek alphabet. That's like A to Z. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come. The Almighty. The apostles taught that he would come again. I mean, all the way through your Bible, the apostles taught it. John taught it. Paul taught it. Paul said, take your Bible, look in 1 Thessalonians. Here's where we fit right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's where we are at. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look what it says. And we've used this at funerals. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself. The Lord's not going to send an angel this time. See, he sent an angel to announce his birth. He sent an angel to announce his resurrection. He sent an angel to announce his second coming. But he's not sending an angel this time. He's coming himself. Can you imagine what he looks like? Can you imagine him walking up to you and saying, hey, Jay, you love me? Hey, Edward, you love me? You know what Thomas did when he said that? He said, Thomas, you don't believe unless you see, touch. You know what Thomas does? Thomas falls down on his face and says, my Lord and my God. This world might get you down, folks. This world might beat you up. And you got stress and pressures of this life. And a lot of times the stress and pressures of this life, we create ourselves. But one day, all that's going to be done. Amen. You can have the joy of your salvation in the midst of all the stress and the pressures of this life. You can still have joy like the angels announced to all men. You can still have that joy. The second coming, I'm looking forward to it. If I ride down the road and I see clouds break open and the sun shine through, I think, is that him? I'm looking for a door because the Bible says it's going to be a door open in heaven. I'm looking for a door. My sister, your mama's already there seeing it. She's on the other side of it. Brother Jack, Hassie's on the other side. She sees it. There's no more sorrow. There's just joy. There's joy. This fellow that passed away that I had come here, it was a cop that got hit by a car and they pronounced him dead. He said he felt, when he got to the gate, he felt overwhelming joy that he never felt in his whole life. Never had before. And he said, then he woke up in the morgue. He said, no, I want to be there. Look at this. Look at 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know what that shout is? The shout is, I'm coming! The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Hold on, children! He says, with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Can you imagine that sight? All the graveyards in the world are going to be opening up. People are going to be terrified. For us that are saved, we're going to be shouting it out. Disciples taught it, and the program of his coming, he said, I'm coming back, and I'm coming back, and I'm coming back on a white horse. That's at the second advent. He's coming back to get his children here. He says, look at verse 17. Then we which are alive, talking about us. This is us in here. This is us now. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. See, because the graves are going to open up. My mom, my dad, my brothers, my family. We were sitting around talking about relatives the other night, Samson and I. It's funny how as you get older, you start talking about, you know, your lineage. And when you're young, you don't care. And I said, I wish my mother would always want me to go to these family reunions down in Smithfield, North Carolina. And my dad would always want me to go to a family reunion up in Virginia and Newmarket, where the Rymans are. I got a friend of mine that came from their church. His name is Brother Sparks, Ken Sparks, right? He's right there in right in the middle of the area where my dad and the Ryman family is. So I called him and said, hey, man, you run into any Rymans? Which I stopped by there, got a phone book. It's full of Rymans. Can you imagine a church full of me? You said, that'd be hell on earth. No. But Ken Sparks, I called him and said, look, if you run into any Rymans, you tell them they got a cousin that's in Delaware that's saved, that's a pastor. And tell them I got another one up in New York, got another one in Virginia. Yes, you tell them. Tell them. My dad would always want me to go to these family reunions. And, you know, I didn't care about it. I do now. I want to go back. I want to find out when they are. I want to go down and preach to my family. I want to see my family saved. My mom's side, she had Hardee's and Moore's. My dad's side had Ryman's and Fry's. There's a Fry that lives right next door over here. I looked at his name out there one day. I said, your last name's Fry? And he goes, yeah. I said, that was my grandmother's name, Fry. And he goes, really? I said, hey, cuz, how you doing? He's looked at me like I was crazy. I'm going to tell you this, the conditions of his coming. Historically, Jews dispersed. God preserved them. He regathered them like he said he would. Over in Ezekiel, he's going to rest. Education is going wild. I mean, whoever would have thought? I mean, back in the 1995, I think internet and all that, World Wide Web and all that came out in 95, 96. Who would have thought that you could have a phone? I'll never forget, first time I seen a cell phone, my boss, a roofer, had it and had it in a bag. And he came up on the roof and he was real proud of it. He had this big bag and he pulled it down on the roof. He said, I'm going to call the office. And he called the office from the bag. And he dialed the phone number, and he's talking to the office in a bag. To us, we laugh at it now. Here we are, 2017. Everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody. I mean, you can be in the poorest of poor neighborhoods. They'll have a telephone, a cell phone, and they'll have a TV, and they'll have internet. In the poorest of the poor, you go down to Brazil, and I've seen pictures when the missionaries come by and they show the houses, all of them got satellites on the top of their cardboard shed. Satellite. My Lord, man. Education. The Bible says education is going to increase. Politically, I mean, politics is going crazy. Religion and people, very, you know, every religion that you might, there's churches starting up, but they're not the right churches. Churches starting up that don't believe the Bible. Churches starting up, they've got, down in Pensacola, they got gay churches. They got gay pastors. They proclaim that, you know, God, I thought, man, what do they preach? What do you preach on sin? How do you preach? They don't preach on sin. You know why these guys on TV don't, they got the great big churches and everything? You never hear them preach on sin. You never hear them preach on, if you better get saved or you're going to go to hell. You don't hear that. There's churches starting up everywhere, but they're getting rid of the book. Throw the Bible out. Throw conviction out. throw the doctrine out, throw sin out. We just all get together and love Jesus and be a big, big orgy of love. That's what it is. And man, I'll tell you what, that's where we're at. Religiously, the Bible says they're going to become a falling away. A falling away. The manner of his coming again is going to be unexpected. It's going to be terrible for the wicked. When a wicked man, people that are not saved, can you imagine when the rapture takes place and the people are not saved and they're going to hear about millions of people disappearing all over the world? They're going to hear about all this something happen. I mean, the manner of his coming. The Bible talks about being called away. The angel stood there and said, the same Jesus that you've seen go up in the clouds, he's going to come in like manner. And the Bible tells us he's coming in the clouds. And himself ain't going to call children now. The world's going to go, my God, what happened? That's where the Antichrist will step right up and say, I know what happened to him. There was an evil empire. We're in Star Wars. I'm not kidding. He's going to say, we're in the middle of Star Wars. There's an evil empire. They just came and took all these people away. Guess what? All the people going crazy over Star Wars. Any kind of end of the world kind of movie, they're going crazy over. So people will believe a lie rather than the truth. It's going to be terrible for the wicked. Glorious. It's going to be, man, we're going to look at chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 1. He says, but the time and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, what? Peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, look what it says. It says, when they say peace and safety, every time you hear the news, you hear a politician talk, they always talk about, we need to have more safety. We need to have less guns. We need to have this, and we need to have peace in the world. We need peace. Every time they have Miss America, they say, what's your desire? I just want to see peace on the earth. There hadn't been no peace. 6,000 years of man, only 200 years of peace. 6,000 years. They peace. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them. As, look what it says, as travail upon a woman with a child, they shall not escape. A woman that's with a child, she goes 9 months. And all of a sudden, she starts growing. She, you know, when she's at 4 months, usually there's no problem. Usually. And 5 months, 6 months, 7 months. But when she hits that 9th month, we know it's close. When Linda had Samson, we went to a Hot Shops that night. Right? That night when she had Samson. We went to Hot Shops, she ate. And man, she got big as a tick. I'm telling you what, she had got big as a tick. And she was just, I mean, she only weighed 115 pounds when we got married. And man, by the time she was delivering Samson, that's why Samson, he loves to eat. And we went, Linda, we were talking about that the other night. I said, why is Josh always eating pizza? She said, well, the night when I had Josh, we were eating pizza that night. And the night when had Ruth, we were eating some kind of tacos. I was eating hot sauce. Ruthie loves tacos. Isn't that crazy? I said, you got to be kidding me. I wonder what my mother was eating when I was born. Twinkies. Nuts. Yeah, my mother was eating nuts. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. I'm Joe has got nuts. Mounds don't. Look at verse 4. I done blew it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. It says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. It says, we're not in darkness. We're walking in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. We know it's coming. We know it's close. We know he's coming. Are you ready for it? Are you preparing for it? Man has to have a purpose in life. Should be your purpose is to glorify God. Amen. Whether you work a regular job or if you work on your own, it should be to glorify God. As a pastor, whatever I do should be to glorify God. I should have something to look forward to. Everybody needs something to look forward to. That should be the Lord coming back. Fellowshipping with the Lord, getting in my Bible, getting something new from him on a daily basis. And man needs love. You need to know God loves you, and you need to show God love. And we have a wife, we have children, or shed our love on them. Grandchildren, shedding our love on them. God made us that way. God says he hates some things, but he doesn't want hatred to rule your life. He wants you to hate evil. He doesn't want you to hate your brethren. The Bible says if a man hates his brother, the love of God is not shed in. So the manner of his coming, the purpose of his coming, is to reveal his glory. To be king of the Jews, like Pilate said, king of the Jews. He's going to be king. He's going to receive his church, his bride. It's going to be a marriage. We're going to a supper one day. We're going to a judgment seat of Christ, and then we're going to a supper. We're going to have a big supper with Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be. Amen. Man's got to have a purpose. Man's got to have something to look forward to. Man's got to have love. He started in the garden that way. He gave Adam a purpose. Gave him something to look forward to. Showed Adam love, and Adam named all the animals, and Adam knew there was something missing. God wanted him to see that. God gave him a woman to love. Jesus is coming. The first birth is about the second. Are you ready for him to come? Is your house in order? Said, preacher, I want to be a better Christian. I do too, folks. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better all the way around for his glory. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a friend. I just want to be better. I just want to be better. And I know the only way I get better is by getting in this book, talking to God, asking God to help me. Because before I was saved, I had a lot of hatred. After I got saved, I wanted to have love. I've had people say, why do you put up with so-and-so? Why do you do that? I just want to see him get better. I want to see him get closer to God. That's what I want to see. And I know God wants to see that. Amen. Are you looking for the Lord coming back? Amen. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for